The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. Enjoy the last 15 minutes of your morning. It's about to become afternoon. Well, we're at that time of year, right before the end of the liturgical year, where the readings all start to get kind of apocalyptic, and they talk about the end times, and they talk about judgment, and they talk about the fact that someday everything that we know as we know it is going to get wrapped up, and we will be entering into a new stage. And that's really obviously the context that Jesus wants to talk about in this gospel. So he gives the story. And frankly, I think this gospel is kind of mysterious. Even preparing the homily and wrestling with it throughout the week in my prayer, there's still a kind of a mystery or an element of mystery to it. Because it doesn't sound like kind of Jesus' ordinary way of doing things. He gives the story of these 10 young ladies, virgins, at a wedding. And we know 5 of them, it says, were wise and brought extra oil, and 5 were foolish. They fall asleep because the bridegroom was taking longer than expected, and when they wake up, it's like everyone's flustered, "Oh, light your lamps." And the ones who don't have any more oil left are like, "Oh no, now we're out." And the interesting thing is this. Ordinarily, wouldn't you expect Jesus to say something like, "And the wise virgins, sharing their oil, gave some to the foolish so that everybody could have their lights lit, and they all entered the kingdom of God and lived happily ever after. Amen." Doesn't that sound like a Jesus kind of a thing to do or to say? And nonetheless, he says no. And it's interesting because the wise ones, well, the excuse they give, which I don't totally understand it, because if the bridegroom is right there, I mean, they could just like wait until he's around the corner and everyone lights, he could share some oil and everyone lights it last second, boom, we're all good, we all get in. But the excuse they give is, "There may not be enough for us and for you." And they say something telling. It says, "Go into the town and get some for yourselves." And the process of going into the town and, what do they say, deal with the merchants, go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves. And apparently that is a process that takes some time. And the reality is, that is the case in our spiritual lives. I remember when I was in college, there was this kind of 2-year window in my life when I went from being a high school barbarian to a seminarian. So between the ages of 18 and 20, at the age of 18 I was still, you know, wearing a leopard skin and carrying a club over my shoulder. And at the age of 20, I entered the Seminary of the Legionaries of Christ to study to be a priest. So in that compacted 2-year period, God was doing a lot. But I remember one of my best friends, when he saw me getting weird, you know, religious, and all of a sudden having different opinions about certain things, he was saying, you know, his philosophy in life, which I don't think he even believed himself, but it's what he wanted to convince himself and me of, was, well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to party and commit all kinds of sins and stuff. And then a couple days before I die, you know, I'll be sure that I convert and get good with God. And I'll sneak into heaven and I can trick him because God is stupid, right? He never came out and said that last line. But I can trick God. He won't know what's going on. He'll never know. And I think sometimes we can think that life works that way. The reality is this. Number one, this gospel teaches us, I'm going to say, two main lessons. The first lesson is there are some things in life that we cannot share. There are some things in life that we cannot give to another, no matter how near or dear they are to us. And that, I think, is represented by the oil of these virgins. I think we can consider the oil to be, for example, sanctifying grace. The intimate relationship of God with your soul, in your soul. Can I pray for people? Sure. Can I intercede for people? Sure. But even with my spouse or my children, do I get to make the decision? Do I somehow get to become surrogate and say, I will get you into heaven? No. And in a certain sense, we shouldn't want it to be that way, because God, when he made us, he made us with the freedom to be able to choose for ourselves. We choose for ourselves in our lives and by our actions, by the living of our lives, who we are going to become, what kind of people we will be. And it is by our constant daily yeses and nos to God and to other decisions in life that we choose who we will become. Obviously, there are a lot of elements that are outside of our control. You are born in a certain country with a certain language and certain parents and certain physical features and everything. But given those conditions, we have the freedom then to say, how am I going to use the cards that God dealt to me? And frankly speaking, we should not want it to be where somebody else is going to make that choice. God is never going to force anybody to go into heaven. He's certainly not going to force you to go to hell. Hell, frankly, was never part of God's plan. The devil chose it, and we choose it. We choose it by saying, in the end of the day, am I willing to love? Am I willing to live a lifestyle and to be the kind of a person that God wants me to be? Ultimately, it comes down to, am I a person who is willing to die to myself in order to love? And that is not something that happens overnight. It is true, there are those occasional, very rare kind of lightning conversions. You think of the good thief. But even those lightning conversions, whether or not the person who receives them is aware of it, God has clearly been preparing a path for a long time, so that in that given moment they are able to make the decision and say, boom. That is an extremely rare grace, frankly. And God only gives it because those people, he knows, if I just give them this little bit of something here, they will choose yes. But the reality is, it is a slow process for most of us. And that is the second point. This is something else that came up in the gospel. It's not like the wise virgins say, hey, just run around the corner, you know, 50 feet from here, there are the vendors selling oil. It says, no, go into town, find them. It takes time. And in that meantime, the bridegroom came and they were too late. So I think this gospel, we can consider it kind of a reality check, if you want, that God respects our freedom far more than we tend to respect our own. God respects, he gives us all the means necessary and gives us every motivation and everything possible under the sun, but he's saying, in the end of the day, we still have to choose. We still have to be the people who choose to carry that store of oil, which is God's grace in our hearts. And this is what living a life of holiness comes down to. You think about the saints are people who are overflowing with grace. The saints are people, it's not like even if they wake up and have a bad day and even if they commit some sin, it's not like they're suddenly just going to roundly reject God and say, no, everything in them, because of all of these choices throughout their lives, they have cherished that grace. They have lived with God's grace in their souls, and it has become part of them. It has transformed them and made them into new people. And this is, I think, the invitation of today's gospel. If we want to be ready when Christ comes a-knocking, which for any one of us could happen, you know, it could happen crossing the street, it could happen pulling out of today's parking lot, right? We don't have to wait until, you know, the sun smashes into the earth or something cataclysmic to happen. The last moment for any one of us could happen before this Mass is over with, you know? You just never know. If we want to be ready in that moment, it is a day-by-day process, a step-by-step process. And Christ is inviting us, let's begin that process right now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.